Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Krista Frazier Marcourt, and this is The New Convention.
All right, I got you.
I want to spend more time where rules are not allowed. I want to find myself lost in the crowd. I want to travel past the boundaries so far they disappear. Out here, just the two of us, I make friends with my fear.
Hey everyone, this is The New Convention, where you will hear from people who are living by their own rules, creating new conventions for living a more sustainable, abundant, and most importantly, meaningful life. Before we get started, I want to give a shout out to our first-time listeners. Thank you for joining us today. We love expanding our community of new and emerging mavericks. Living unconventionally, as many of you know, can sometimes be a lonely and scary path because it's hard to be different. But if you're interested in that maverick lifestyle, you've come to the right place. You don't have to start that adventure alone. Join our community of mavericks by following us on Facebook. Our conversations also do not have an expiration date, so feel free to start here or jump back through some of our earlier episodes to get more insights from fellow mavericks in the area such as finance, lifestyle, and relationships. And to our loyal listeners, welcome back. Thank you for your continued support. We wouldn't be here without you. If you like what you hear today, make sure you share the love by sharing this episode with the people in your life and community who are looking to escape the conventional for something more intentional. You can get access to more info as well as extended versions of the show where we get into the really juicy stuff by visiting my website, KristaFM.com, and becoming a member. That's Krista, KristaFM.com. Finally, I'd like to thank Shaw Wild for providing the music we use at The New Convention. You can get access to more of her songs and albums at shawild.com. Let's get started, Mavericks. On today's episode, I'm speaking to Laws McKenzie. Laws spent over 3 years house-sitting full-time over the past 5 years, and on today's episode, she shares her experience on the house-sitting lifestyle, benefits, challenges, and most importantly, how to land positions. If you're looking for options to live rent-free, house-sitting is one option you should definitely look at. If you like what you hear today and you think house-sitting might be right for you, become a member at The New Convention and get access to additional exclusive content where Laws and I walk through step-by-step how to land house-sitting positions. So Laws, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really excited about our topic on house-sitting. And I'm sure Jay, my husband, has told you that he wants to house-sit. And I have a lot of reservations about it. So I'm really looking forward to hearing about your experience and maybe if my reservations are something I should be concerned about or if they're not really that big of a deal.
Oh, no worries. Yeah, happy to share my experience for sure.
And before we dive into that, I just want to get to know you a little bit better. And I know that you mentioned you are a super connector. What is that?
Oh, well, basically, I just join dots and introduce people when I know they should be having conversations. So I've always been that person when I meet someone somewhere, whether it's at a conference or, you know, a networking event or just in general, and I go, oh, my gosh, I have to introduce you to that person I met last week or last month. So, yeah, it just has all come together now, and I've actually managed to monetize it, which is very cool. I just can't believe people pay me to do it.
And was this an intentional move for you, or did it kind of just happen organically?
It did happen organically. I've always been, I guess, at the forefront of everything I've ever done for work. So I started out working for Westpac when I first left school, and then I did a couple of different roles. I had a day spa for 10 years and ended up having 2 locations and 22 staff. And then I did a contract role with ABC Commercial on a well-being, corporate well-being product. And so at the forefront of all of the things that I did was relationships. It was a really important, you know, piece. And I think it just sort of, yeah, when I found the networking community that I'm part of now, it just sort of all came together. I used to help people with marketing and business development strategy based on being a real person and tapping into relationships that you have with your clients. And someone actually approached me about, say 12 months ago, I think, and said, could I pay you to introduce me to people? Because you seem to just introduce people. And I'm like, oh, I never really thought about being paid for it. And so then, yeah, we used it as a sort of a case study to see how the model worked. And it worked really, really well because I get to meet so many people. It just wasn't, I kept thinking, I'll run out of people to introduce, you know, this new client to, but I never ran out of people. So yeah, it's just gone from there, which is, it's just phenomenal. It just blows my mind.
Oh, that is so cool. So has this ability to build relationships played a part in your kind of desire to house it? Because I imagine, you know, you have to be a bit more open as a person and connect with people to take on something as unique as house sitting.
The house sitting just sort of came about because I was living in a beautiful house on the Central Coast, and the people that owned it wanted to sell. And I was spending a heap of time in Sydney and didn't really know where I wanted to live. And my mum suggested house sitting because she's done it in the past. So, yeah, I just thought, okay, well, I'll put myself out there. So it wasn't really so much about the relationship piece, just more to work out where I wanted to live in the initial stages. But what happened over time was I just met so many amazing people and got to experience so many different locations and pets. I'm actually really shy, so I like being on my own. So
you are shy.
Yes.
Wow, that's fascinating, given that your whole career is about connecting people and networking.
Yeah, well, I like to sit back and observe, and I think that's where, you know, I join dots, because I observe people and watch how they interact and sort of get a deeper sense of people. And you're quite perceptive. So, and I've had to learn to be a lot more outgoing through what I do with my networking and that sort of thing, that's for sure. So yeah, house sitting means that I get to have like my solitude. So with the pets and me, I do my work stuff, and then I've got somewhere to go and retreat to. And it's a different experience every, I tend to go for gigs that are sort of that sort of 3 weeks onwards. So I'm not, you know, otherwise it's quite unsettling to be going somewhere, you know, every week or every few weeks. So it means I get to settle in and just enjoy, you know, being in someone else's environment and treating it like my home.
And so how long have you been doing house sitting? When did that start?
So I did about 2 years initially when I moved from the Central Coast to Sydney, and then took a break for a year, and I'm about like another 18 months in the second time around. So although with COVID, all my house sitting gigs were cancelled because no one could travel. So, but the great thing about once you get started is that, you know, people leave you reviews, and it's a bit like applying for, you know, a new home with, you know, with a lease or a tenancy. You know, you have to have some recommendations, and people say that you, you know, you'll look after a premises. So once you've had a few great reviews, it's quite easy. You know, I found that the trick was to apply as soon as you saw a great place that you thought that could work, and the dates work as well. And yeah, as people just get overwhelmed, a lot of people are doing house sitting, either to save money or for whatever reason is going on in their lives. So you have to get in quick. But if you've got good reviews and people have said nice things about you, it seems to be easier to make the shortlist.
Do you have any special techniques you use to get on that short list aside from the reviews that you've built up? Because I'm just thinking of Jay and I's experience. And granted, we have also the giant dog that is a little bit of a hindrance to trying to get house sitting positions. But do you have a brochure or something written up already about yourself that you're ready to send out?
Yeah, I have. So like I've got a profile that talks about what I do for work and, you know, me personally. And then I also have a sort of a templated message that I send that I just tweak to suit, you know, what people are asking for. So I normally would say, you know, I'd love the opportunity to come and meet with you to look after your home. And I always put the pet's name in there if they've mentioned the pet's name, because you know, obviously if they've mentioned the pet's name, it means they're really important to them. So I personalize it and just sort of say, you know, I've got some great reviews. You can jump over here and take a look. And, you know, I'm available for the dates that you mentioned. So we'd love the chance to come and meet with you and see if this could work. And I just tweak that depending on what they've said in their ad each time. Most of it hasn't been many people I've been to meet with that I've sort of not ended up doing a sit for. And when someone doesn't choose you, it's like, oh, what was wrong with me? It's really like dating. You go meet someone and then they don't like you. You're like, oh, was there something that I said?
Was it my outfit? Where did
I know, right? I was trying to be conservative and you took my shoes off before I went into, like, you know, all the things. But yeah, definitely helps just having those reviews and those. And when I first started house sitting, obviously I didn't have those. So what I did was I asked my the house that I had been renting, I'd been there for 2 years, And that because they were trying to sell it every week for the like the last 6 months I was there, there was pretty much open
I hate room. That. That's the worst.
But I'm a real homebody and I'm very tidy. So the real estate agent, every time he would come and go, oh my gosh, I just can't believe how well you look after this home. It's so fantastic that we could come and everything's like just perfect for us to show people through. So I got him to write me a reference, and I also got the lady that owned the house to write me a reference about how I looked after the home. So that helped in the first instance to get started.
Oh, that's a fantastic idea. I was even thinking, an idea that popped up in my mind is maybe you could go house sit for friends and get them to give you some references as well.
For sure, yeah. And that actually did happen. I had a colleague that I was working with that needed someone to look up, and she had a menagerie of pets. Like there was chooks and rabbits and dogs and there were birds. There was a snake.
Oh, man.
There was lots of different, and yeah, I'd periodically just gone and helped her out. So that was a good way to sort of get started as well. Because sometimes you don't know, like it's interesting because people write you, when you go to meet with them, they want to tell you everything about how they want their home looked after or the routine of the pets. And you go, you know what, you just have to write it all down for me because I'm not going to remember this in 4 months' time. people have really, like, because they do it all day, it's like anything. If you do it all day, every day, you just do it automatically and there's a huge knowledge sometimes. Doing it a couple of times with someone that's got complex pets or needs was a good idea because it was like, well, I had to get my head around all the different things that needed to happen and get into a routine. So when the guinea pigs were actually quite easy in comparison.
Yeah. And so that brings me to my next question too, because when we've been looking at certain house sitting opportunities, there are a lot of situations where people have kind of a homestead or farm and they have what I would call more unique, not your standard dog, cat.
Yes.
How did you get the knowledge to take care of those additional animals?
Well, most people are quite, you know, like you just have to ask questions. You know, they want to be assured that you're going to have the skills to deal with something that random that might happen, I guess. So, I grew up on a farm, so maybe that's a positive as well. So I'm a farm girl, even though I was the one always inside cooking the meals, I wasn't the one outside. You know, to say you're a farm girl helps.
Yeah.
I think when you go meet with people and you can show them that you're capable, I think that's when, like, you can say anything, you know, in an email or, you know, on the phone, but when you go and meet with them and they can, and most people want to see how you might handle the pet, how the pet reacts to you, how the animals react to you. And I think they get a sense of it then as well. I don't think I've ever done a house sit where I haven't met the people beforehand. So I think people have said yes before I've met them, but yeah, I haven't actually ever gone somewhere cold and not knowing them before I got there.
What would you say is the most unique pet that you've had to look after, or animal?
The guinea pigs are up there because I'd never had guinea pigs before.
Yeah.
And even though it's not a unique animal, I had these two big, they're like Chinese temple dogs, chow dogs at one stage, which were really very nervous. So it was a big deal for their owners to leave them. But the first day I went to meet them, the dogs didn't bark the house down like they normally did with strangers and that type of thing. So they were really unusual in that they were very timid and very, they needed to be.
They had anxiety.
Very much so. Yeah. So they were probably one of the trickiest ones. And I did look after, again, it was a dog, but he was like about 8-10 months old and heaps of energy. So I just could not walk enough. Like dog needed walking all the time. And he was just like, he was so full of energy. I just could not keep up. But not unusual, but just unusual in what they needed. Yeah.
What did they do? Did they tell you any suggestions for how to wear the dog out?
No. They actually engaged a dog walker as well because they knew I was busy. So someone would come and walk him during the day for an hour on top of what I would do morning.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, for sure. it did mean I got to, and that was sort of in the Hills District in Sydney. So I got to learn a lot about all the beautiful parks and national parks and bush in that area when I was there. So that was cool. He needed an ace, his name was, he needed lots of walking.
So aside from animals, what other types of things do people ask you to do when you're house sitting?
Normally just, you know, their plants, they want to make sure that their plants are okay. There isn't much else really, like, just, you know, a lot of people want you to treat the home as if it's your home, which that, you know, I do anyway. That's part of my nature. I am a homebody. But yeah, there hasn't really been anything else. Plants and pets are the two main things. Not very often that people want you to house it if there's not something that needs taking care of.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever done a sitch where people just wanted someone in. Sometimes people advertise because they just want someone in the house if they're going away for a long period of time. But I haven't really had any of those lately. So, yeah, nothing super unusual.
Okay, so it seems like it's a pretty easy gig overall.
Yeah, it's just like your home. You're just moving where you live to somewhere else, treating it like your place, cleaning it like your place. Yeah, pretty much. I have found people are so generous. Like, they always like, just use whatever you like in the house, you know, whatever's in the pantry, whatever's in the fridge. Some people leave you like a special meal and things like that when you come the first day, which is so lovely. I always, you know, I tend to try not to use, one couple like left me enough money for groceries for the whole
wow.
Day, which I didn't use at all. This is where the chow dogs were. But I'm like, oh no, like, I'm just grateful that you trust me to live in your home and look after your pets who you adore. And I always, if I ever use anything, I just replace it. And then when they come home, I always make, you know, I might make a pot of soup and have some fresh bread and just make sure they've got the essentials, milk and all that sort of thing, and a bunch of flowers that they come home to. So they walk in, they've probably traveled to get home, and it's like, oh, I didn't even have to think about that first meal.
And that's a fantastic idea to get your reviews up as well. It kind of reminds me of Airbnb, where you want to create this experience so that people are excited to hire you back or to give you a great review so you can land that next job.
Yes, for sure. Just little things. And it's just like, you know, it's the farm girl in me too. Like, I love to cook, so any excuse to cook for somebody when you live.
Oh, you can come cook for us anytime.
Okay.
I used to love to cook, but I'm so busy nowadays that it's just a burden.
Yeah, well, living on my own, it's like just half the time. It's like I just living on new foods at the moment, which is good because it means I eat properly. But I don't get to cook very often these days.
So. Yeah. So have you ever had an experience where it was kind of a nightmare house sitting situation, like very dirty or sketchy?
Yeah, I have had a couple that I, like, when I went to meet the people beforehand, I decided not to take because I just went, I just don't think I could live here for an extended period of time. It perhaps wasn't as clean as what I went. You know, it's mainly because the animals were inside a lot or that type of thing. So, yeah, there were two that I ended up just saying, oh, actually, sorry, I had something else ask me for that. Like, I didn't tell them.
Yeah, your house is disgusting. I don't want to live there.
Yeah. I just sort of said, I had someone else that offered me that space, and it works better with dates. So, yeah, thanks, but no thanks.
So one of the biggest challenges that I think of with the house sitting, and you kind of alluded to it earlier when you said you look for those more long-term, 3+ weeks situations, what do you do in the gaps?
Well, luckily I've always managed to sort of marry up. There's only been a couple of times I can think of where the dates didn't exactly marry up, because what happens is people, if they're flexible with their travel dates, sometimes they'll move them to accommodate, you know, you.
Okay.
Or, like the chow dogs people, for instance, I had a 2-day gap, but they actually wanted me to come 2 days early so they could see me spending time with the dogs. So I was like sharing the house with them, which
was that
I felt,
weird.
It felt like it would be, but they were so lovely. And I was out working during the day, so it was only really overnight time that you know we had dinner together and stuff. So it hasn't happened many times, but I would either stay with a friend if I could, or I would just grab an Airbnb for the gap. But it is surprising. That was one thing that used to stress me out. Like, I'd have my whole calendar and be just trying to like marry everything up. But it always just seemed to work out. Like, when you have a conversation with someone, if they were flexible, it sort of was always okay.
Wow, that's amazing that you were able to almost fully book your entire year back-to-back house stays. And what would you say is the typical length of stay that you managed to find?
Yeah, around that sort of 3 to 4 weeks. Yeah, there's loads of people that, you know, sort of want to go away for that extended period of time. Occasionally I do 2-week stints, it just depends. And often I've had occasions where I've gone back. So there's a couple that live sort of in the Western Sydney area. I've been there 5 times.
Okay.
So I'm just the first person they call if they want to go away. So I have done really short stints for them because they just trust me with their dogs, and it's like, we want to go away for a long weekend, have you got the space? And a couple of times, you know, that has actually worked really well when I've had those gaps too. So and they're the sort of people like I could ring and say, actually, I've got a gap, did you want to go away? And they would go, yeah, that would be great, we'll go to the Hunter Valley for the weekend or something. So yeah, there's that too. You just become friends with the people that you meet. It's really nice. Yeah.
And that's actually a phenomenal benefit, because I know a lot of times what stops Jay and I from going away is that, you know, it's a huge expense to have somebody watch Remy. But if yes. you have a trusted house sitter where you're exchanging kind of your house for that watching of your pet, it does yes. give you the opportunity to take those trips that you might not take otherwise.
Absolutely. It does make it heaps easier. And like on like with these guys, once I've been there once, like you just like after you're there for half a day, you go, yep, now I remember all the things I have to do. And like they had little dogs, so they need walking or anything. It was quite an easy house sit, actually. It's pretty cool.
So what about, because you do have a job, and do you work in the city?
I work all over. So and when I moved from the Central Coast to Sydney, I actually sold my car. So everywhere I go on public transport.
Okay.
So that yeah, sometimes that's a little bit challenging because I go to breakfast meetings for networking. So sometimes that's, I always say any alarm clock that has a 4 in front of it should be, you know, illegal. Some of the places I've stayed has meant that, yes, getting up at you know, 4:30 or something to be, you know, if I was at Penrith and I had to be at Manly, for instance, like that.
Yeah.
But often when I stay at people's place, they'll say, you know, they'll make a car available.
Well, that's really nice. I didn't even think about that.
So, and I would always just use it, you know, maybe to drive to the station or that type of thing. I wouldn't be tripping all over the place, but, yeah, I just use that, and I can work if I'm traveling on public transport as well. I can always do emails and that sort of thing. So yes, it does take me more time to get to places because I'm on public transport, but, yeah, it's just less sleep. And making it to where I need to be. So I just make it work. Like I just, you know, I do have to sacrifice, you know, spending time in bed sometimes, but that's okay.
Yeah, for free rent, I think I would sacrifice a little bit of sleep.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way to save money, that's for sure.
Yeah, and the other benefit I was thinking of, which you kind of mentioned as well, is just this ability to explore the area that you live in that you may not explore otherwise.
Yes, yes. And I always felt like it would help me decide where I would like to live in Sydney.
Yes.
But it actually helped me decide a lot of the time where I don't want to live.
Well, just as important.
This is true, because it could seem real like if you're in a, you know, beautiful, you know, home or apartment or something, you can think, oh yeah, this would be really lovely. But then the, you know, the surrounding area might not be somewhere where you'd want to be day in, day out. So yeah, that was the upside, I guess. I did find where I perhaps don't want to live.
That's a huge upside, I actually think, because I was interviewing somebody else who they live overseas. So they live in low cost countries, basically. And they said one of the tips that they always tell people, and no one ever listens, is that you should go live somewhere during kind of the down season, you know, not during the like popular time, and see if it's a place you actually want to live and live in the neighborhood that you're thinking of, because things come up that you may not even know about, like maybe there's a hide plant, you know, processing plant, and the smell comes out every day, or yes. you know, maybe there's certain areas in the neighborhood that aren't so nice that you want to avoid. And so taking that time to really get clear about, yeah, I've lived in the neighborhood, I know it's a place I like, before you invest that money in buying something.
Yeah, for sure. And also just like your favorite haunts. You know, you when you live somewhere, you have your favorite little coffee shop and your restaurant and you take away and all that sort of thing. And sometimes, yeah, it's hard to find those great places in different pockets. So, yeah, it is a good idea to try before you buy, try an area before you buy for sure.
So do you use this house sitting model for travel as well as a way to travel cheaply?
I haven't yet, but I definitely could. I've been, you know, sort of not stuck is not the right word, but sort of bound by being in Sydney for the last couple of years because of my work. But I could definitely use it to travel. And the platform that I used was Mind-A-Home, and it is a global site. So okay. There are people from everywhere on there. So, yeah, could definitely do that quite easily using the same, I don't know how you would meet people, it would be a Zoom call, I guess, but yeah, it would definitely work.
And do you have situations where you book in a time and then it gets canceled at the last minute? Because that would be my biggest concern if you're looking at the travel aspect, especially that you think you have a place to stay and all of a sudden you don't, or does that rarely happen?
It's happened, I think, once.
Okay.
And sort of had like a maybe, you know, a couple of weeks notice, which it is slightly stressful, but it is also surprising how many people wait till the last minute to either find someone or they have someone. It's quite common that house sitters let the homeowners down as well. People just don't, like for me, if I say to someone, yes, it's a hard yes. Like there's no way I would ever let anybody down. But a lot of people I find do get let down a lot. So at the last minute, they're left in a spot as well.
That is not good at all.
No. So I have been able to help some people out in that respect. And actually the couple at Menai that I've been to 5 times, they were let down at the last minute by someone and just rang me. I happened to be in Brisbane, but I was staying with friends. So I actually flew back especially to help them out. And they were just so grateful because they were going on a cruise. So there was just no way they could cancel their trip. I think once I've had someone pull the pin on me, but I have had a lot of people where I've been able to help them out when they've been let down at the last minute.
Oh, that's a good idea. Cause I didn't even think about that being a challenge, especially for homeowners who are hosts, want their house to be watched over. Because if you are going on a trip and you can't make changes, even booking in a commercial facility to have someone watch your pets, you can't always get rooms at the last minute.
No, that's true. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a good thing to have on your reviews that you're reliable. That's for sure, because it would seem that lots of people are.
Can you see that on the profile? So, you know, on Airbnb where it says if a host has canceled on somebody, is that on the profile for the house sitting?
No, I think on this particular platform, you can't leave a review unless you're asked to.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's probably not something that's visible. I know in some other like trusted house sitters and that type of thing, like people can be outed for doing the wrong thing. And you know, quite often when I'm going to do a house sit, people will say, "Oh, do you mind if I speak to some people that you have sat for?" And it's like, "Yeah, absolutely." So if it's the same sort of pet or a similar scenario to what you know the one that's being advertised, I'll put them in contact with someone that had a similar situation and they have a chat. That's quite common. They want to talk to someone just to make sure that, you know, I'm not just saying what I say.
Because it would be so easy for somebody to do that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Again, a bit like dating, right?
Yeah.
Is that what they see?
It's like, you don't look like your photo.
Yeah. How old are you again?
This isn't what I signed up for.
And often people are like, because when I had the, when I was renting my place, my son was living with me, who's 23. And so they're like, are you coming? Like, is he coming as well? Like, you don't want a 23-year-old here. I'm like, no, actually, I'm on my own. He's off doing his own thing now. So people like that I'm on my own. So that's a positive too, I guess, in some respects. Depends which way you look at it.
So some of the other challenges that I think of when I think about house sitting are just mail and your address. Mm-hmm. Do you use someone else's address, like a family member's? How do you navigate that challenge?
Yeah, I did. These days we don't get much mail, interestingly. So I did have a PO box in the city, in Sydney, because I was in Sydney all the time. I would, in the city all the time, you know, a couple of times a week, I would just go check the PO box. But what I found was I was getting so little mail that it really wasn't, you know, really worth it.
Yeah.
And if I wanted to order something, say I wanted to shop online, I would just make sure I order it at a, you know, there's a lot of time for something to come if I was and use that home address to have it delivered. But for day-to-day stuff, I actually, you know, my daughter has a PO box and she lives in Victoria, so I use her address. So that just, I didn't really need my own PO box because I was getting like one piece of mail every month. It was crazy. So it was really worth it just to want to do any shopping.
Yeah, we forget to check our mailbox, actually. Yeah, it'd be like a month goes by and then we're like, oh man, it's overflowing.
It's just when my dad goes, I want to send you a birthday card. I'm like, where will I be?
I just think, on those things, especially with the podcast and having a business, you have to have a physical address for things. And in some situations, you can't use a PO box. And so that's where I'm like, oh, well, what would I do for that physical address? And right now I use my parents' address who are in the United States, which sometimes can work and sometimes can't.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm lucky that, I've got family in Victoria. So yeah, my license actually has my daughter's address because I didn't have a fixed address. And when I went to, so at the moment I've had with COVID, I had to, all my house sitting gigs were cancelled. So, and I'm sort of stuck in Brisbane. So I had to find somewhere to live and I was staying with friends, but it was just meant to be a short-term thing in between house sitting gigs if I needed. So I've actually had to rent an apartment for 6 months. And one of the challenges was my friends were laughing because I thought it's a bit hard to prove who I am and where I've been when you've been a vagrant for a couple of years. And they're like, oh, which is true. Like I've been house sitting for a couple of years and I had to like prove, my identity again. Which was interesting, but of course when they met me, they're just like, yeah, you're all cool. But
that's so true though, because I think of like, we're trying to get citizenship right now. And when I filled out the application, I had to put where I had all the places I had lived in, I think it was the last 15 years.
Wow.
And if you were house sitting, yeah. I assume you would just put your, I don't know what you would do.
Yeah. It's like, well, yeah. I don't know, like 15 years, that's a long time to think about all the places you've been.
Yes, and all the places you traveled, you had to put that down too, which was really hard to remember any time you traveled overseas.
Yes.
Because for work, I traveled quite a bit when I was younger and I didn't even think about it, the dates when I was going and how long I was there.
Yeah. Yeah, so well, now I've proved my, that I've had a lease, it should be easier when I come back to Sydney to either find somewhere to live or... go through that whole process again. It's like, is it easier to find a someone that's a homeowner that doesn't want to use a real estate agent, wants to do a private rental agreement, or is it easy to have the security of going through an agent?
Yeah. And what would you say is the best place you've ever lived? Have you lived in some really cool houses with like pools or places that you would never expect to live?
Yeah, a couple of places in the northern beaches of Sydney were really lovely. The guinea pig house was very beautiful with a pool. Actually, I had this amazing house that I looked after on the Central Coast, which was at a sort of rural hole gate, it's called. It was spectacular. A pool sort of on acreage. That's probably the nicest. Oh, and another one on the Central Coast right on the water as well, which was pretty beautiful. It was sort of like I would call a Loz house. It was a bit of a Queenslander type home, very country. With two cats, that was really lovely as well. It's always nice when you walk into a home that you're going to look after and it feels like somewhere where you would live.
Yeah.
Like it was your own space. Those three were, quite lovely.
You would almost feel like you're on your own little Airbnb holiday all the time.
Yes, it is like that. Yeah. The house at Holgate on the Central Coast, the lady loved to cook as well. So she had this most magnificent kitchen. It was insane. And it was just, incredible. So, it was pretty cool.
How long did you get to stay there?
That was a 4-week one as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So very nice.
And what's the longest period you've ever stayed somewhere?
I think I've done 6 weeks. That's probably the longest one. And the people were going overseas for quite a big trip. So, but that 4-week mark is quite common to do 1 to 4 weeks. Yeah.
I do have to say Australia is a great place to house it because I, as an American, Americans don't take long holidays. You just don't get the time off.
Yeah.
A lot of organizations, you get 2 weeks and you have to earn more time. So it's a great place here because Aussies like to travel. Typically, when you can, outside of COVID.
Yes. Well, and I think we have to plan. Like a lot of people do have to, lock in leave and all that sort of thing so far in advance. So people are planning. I'm amazed that people are advertising on the Minds of Home so anything up to 18 months, 2 years in advance. Which is really
2 years in advance.
It was just really interesting because, you know, you think, well, circumstances could change a lot in that period of time. I'll be reluctant to lock something in 2 years in advance, but I have mapped out almost a whole 12 months quite easily in the past.
That's actually really helpful because that would take some of the stress out of feeling like, where am I going to live constantly?
Yeah, no, it is good to have it locked into the diary. And you sort of like, I would just look at areas or periods of time that I thought would fit, and it didn't matter sort of how far in advance, you know, beyond that 12 months that it was, but you sort of then work backwards and fill in gaps. And like I said before, it's surprising how they all seem to fit together over time. Or then you just start applying for ones that fit into the gaps. So sort of process of elimination. So it can definitely work quite well.
So you would have to be, I assume, a minimalist. Do you own anything?
I do have, that's been a bit of a joke actually, because I'm slightly obsessed with shoes.
I have
50 pairs of shoes.
50? Oh, Lord, yeah. I have to cart those around all year long.
It's pretty funny. Actually, I remember the first day when I was leaving the Central Coast, and I was hopping on the ferry at the Central Coast to go over to the Northern Beaches to look after the guinea pigs. And I had the biggest suitcase you can imagine. But it's got like as many clothes and shoes as I could fit. And I had put everything else into storage. I just had a storage unit into me, and I would go and rotate clothes and shoes, you know, periodically. But I had this massive big suitcase, and I was about to get on the ferry feeling a little bit, my son had dropped me off, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the start of the new, you know, what's happening for me, feeling a little bit teary. And this guy says to me, like, could you get a bigger suitcase? Like, and I was just like, that's got all my worldly possessions in it. Like, you know, like, back off, man.
Yeah. Could you fit all of your belongings in a suitcase?
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like it would be sometimes it'd be nice to have a car because like it would be much easier to move around. But I've managed to just, you know, just cope without things that, you know, most people you think is really important. The hardest thing I find is like my work things, like not being able to have an office set up properly and that type of thing. So you just can't lug all that stuff around. So I've just got used to, as you say, being quite a minimalist, and being able to rotate clothes and shoes is nice. But I've got lots of books and all that type of thing that are in storage. So it'll be nice when I finally have my own place again to have all my things around, my photos and my kids and all that type of thing. Just got used to doing without stuff though.
Okay, so you still have a storage unit. So it's not like you only own the clothes on your back and the items in your suitcase.
No, not that sort of vagrant. So, no. And when I was moving from the Central Coast to start housing, my daughter was also moving into her own place in Victoria and was going to go and buy a heap of furniture and all the things I was about to put into storage. And so I sent her all my stuff. I said, do you want to go buy your stuff? Or, you know, I've got a house full of stuff. She goes, oh, Mum, that would be so cool because it will feel like home. So she's actually got all the bigger furniture items. And, she's probably going to move back to Sydney next year and all my stuff will come back to Sydney with her and we'll have a place. So that'll be good. Oh,
that'll be really nice. I do have to say the freedom of not having stuff sounds amazing to me, especially we move quite a bit and having to move all of our stuff is such a hassle. And then you move into a new place and it doesn't necessarily fit in the new place. So that is one of my reservations as we're looking at this kind of new moving into this amazing beach house and hopefully Airbnb being part of it. We're going to have to get more stuff for a bigger place. And there is a part of me that's like, oh, do I really want to get more stuff?
Yeah. I'll be surprised at how, you know, I've just learned to do without. You know, obviously you have your favourite things. Like I've got this beautiful church pew and a beautiful dining table and all this sort of thing. And every once in a while, Talia, my daughter, will say, oh, I think I'll sell such and such. I'm like, no, it's not yours to sell. Like, it's still my stuff.
You can't sell it.
And there's some things like you just never want to part with, but other things you go, you know what, I don't know if I'm as attached to things anymore as I used to be.
Yeah, which is I think that's a huge important lesson too, is to not be attached to things because it can cause some pain, you know, when you get attached to things.
Yeah, or be expensive for the biggest storage unit that you need.
That's true. That's so true. Yeah. And so do you have a capsule wardrobe then?
Do I have what, sorry?
So capsule wardrobe, it's like when you have just a certain amount of key items and you said you can swap them so that you get lots of outfits out of a few key pieces of clothes.
Yeah, not so much. I guess, yeah, I don't know. I do love to shop. I probably don't do as much shopping these days because I'm, you know, very conscious of lugging stuff around. It's like if something is going into the suitcase, something has to come out of the suitcase type thing. But yeah, I guess I do have some, you know, what I would call investment pieces where, you know, they're things that are, you know, staples.
Yeah.
And yeah, my shoe collection, you know, gets it's lasting longer because I'm, you know, rotating it. So that's a good thing.
Well, I want to transition to what I would have to say is the absolutely most biggest impact that you can have through this whole process are you're getting rid of not only rent, but utilities and all of the maintenance, all of the costs that come with living somewhere. It's not just rent. There's so much more. You must be saving heaps of money.
Yeah, for sure. It was definitely, it was good. And when I first started to do the house sitting, I was, you know, I've been through a marriage breakup, you know, a couple of years beforehand. And so sort of getting back on my feet financially. So it definitely did give me the opportunity to not feel pressured by paying Sydney rents. And have the ability to build up my business a little bit before, you know, I will take on a property that I would rent. So, yeah, it is surprising how much money you save. Oh, I mean, I was spending more on, you know, commuting and that type of thing, but really not in the same sense of, as paying rent, as you say, or utilities. Still need your phone. But, yeah, no electricity. Most places you go have internet. Some places don't, so that would mean, you know, just need more data for my phone, but that's really rare. And you know, you already have to pay for groceries and to eat, so that doesn't change. So yeah, there's definitely the ability to save a heap of money for sure.
Yeah. So what's next for you? I know it's COVID right now, so house sitting is kind of not a thing at the moment.
Yeah.
Do you plan to go back into house sitting when this mess is over, or are you looking to settle down?
I think I'm ready to settle down. I'm intending to come back to Sydney in November. So, but then I always go home to my family in Victoria for Christmas. So, you know, I might just go home early for a little while and I don't have to be sort of back in Sydney till mid-January for work. But I think I'm ready to have my own, you know, my own place. It has been nice, I have to say, having the apartment in Brisbane, or I'm stuck in Brisbane, even though it's furnished. I've got a few of my bits and pieces around. And when I was relocating for the year, I actually rented a car, put all my clothes and shoes into the car in Brisbane. So I actually have the whole range to choose from. It's sort of nice. Not that I'm that, you know, I'm not a princess or anything, but yeah, it is nice to have everything. I've got some of my books and, you know, pieces around. But yeah, I think when I go back, it'll be nice to find somewhere to settle down. And, you know, it's about time I grew up, I guess, if I have to.
Well, you can always do it, as we talked about earlier, as a holiday opportunity. So if you miss the adventure, use it to go on cheap holidays so you don't have to pay for accommodation.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to keep that in my back pocket.
Well, let's wrap up and get you back to your busy day. To kind of end the conversation, I like to give all of my listeners a challenge. One of the things that I have found so empowering from doing this podcast is actually implementing things that I learned from my guests. Mm-hmm. I think it's so true that we can have all this knowledge, but if you actually don't do it, it's not going to change your life. So what is a challenge that you would give to our guests to make a change, either about, you know, how they think about living or minimalism or not being attached, any of the topics that we've really covered?
Yeah, well, I think if, you know, for instance, if you'd ever considered housing but not, you know, taken that step into it, why not accept the challenge and look after a friend's home or something, like do a short-term, you know, gig for somebody, you know, over a long weekend, just to try it on for size and see how it goes. I think, you know, what's the worst thing that can happen?
Yeah. Someone's pet dies.
You know, well, let's not wish for that. And I just like, it's just like my thing, like not on my watch is that ever going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, it does happen. And people are quite philosophical about that sort of thing too. They go, well, if it happens, it happens, you know, as long as it wasn't my doing that created, you know, to get run over or something. But yeah, I would say try it on for size. Like if it's something that you've considered doing and perhaps have been a little bit reluctant, just, yeah, a lot of the platforms where you can look for people, there's Facebook groups and that type of thing that don't cost anything. And people just need some help in a short term. So you could just look at it like a weekend away to somewhere quite different with a pet.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's a great way for listeners to explore this concept, is to use it as a way to get a cheaper holiday and see if this is something that they think they could do longer term.
Hmm. Yeah.
If you could start a new convention, so a new normal kind of in this area that we've talked about, what would it be?
So much as a new normal, but just maybe the perception about people that house it. I think, you know, I could choose to live somewhere, you know, amazing in a city and that, but I choose to house it. So it doesn't mean that I'm homeless or, you know, anything like that. You know, people, you know, I get all those sort of jokes sometimes. It's like, it's my choice to do this because it's, you know, something I, you know, I'm adventurous.
Yeah.
And I like to meet people and experience different things. So I've chosen this way of living for the time being. It's not because I don't have somewhere to live, because I could if I wanted to. So I think perception, I would love to change the perception around people at housing.
Yeah. And that, one of the things that I was exploring when I was getting ready for our conversation is all the different ways that you can live rent-free. Mm-hmm. And I do think that it does take a little bit of adventure to explore these different ideas, because we've grown up thinking, oh, well, I have to get a house and I want my privacy and I need certainty. But there's a lot of different ways that you can really significantly alter your lifestyle if you're just a little bit creative with your living situation. And it's just about what you really value.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like taking on an experience like this, like choosing to do this, it just, you know, it has made me definitely more, you know, I was already quite resilient and quite, you know, good at thinking on my feet and that type of thing. But, you know, your problem solving and that type of thing, like there's different areas that become more prominent because you, you know, you're not in your comfort zone.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's a good sort of personal growth type thing as well, to choose to do something that's just really a little bit out of the box. Like when I say to people that I do it, they go, really, is that a thing? Like, we can't believe that you would do that, you know, long term. And it's like, well, it's just something that I really enjoyed. And so, yeah, for this period in my life, it's worked.
Well, I'm feeling much more comfortable about potentially looking into it now that we've had a conversation. Yeah, I think what really did it for me was when you said you could book your calendar out for a year, potentially, and given not probably now, but once things open back up. Because my thing is, I'm a homebody too. So I like knowing where I'm going to put my head down at night. And I had this impression of house sitting as, you don't know where you're going to be living week to week. And I would just be stressed out of my mind if that was the situation.
Yeah. Yeah. No, give it a go, Chris. So there's your challenge.
There's my challenge. Yes.
When throwing it back at you.
You know what? What I will do, and I will tell Jay this as well, because it'll make him happy, is I will say our next holiday, we're going to try and do a house sitting holiday.
Ah, cool.
Yeah, locally, given we can travel within, it'll probably have to be in New South Wales with everything that's going on. But
yeah, there's some beautiful rural places where, you know, people need someone to look after their pets. So yeah, that's a great idea. Love it.
Yeah, that's a way too, I think, where we could have somebody watch Remy, because I think that's one of the things that keeps us from getting picked, is that we have a dog. Mm. So I'll have to think about that too. Build up our reviews so when we want to do it longer term, we can.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm going to transition into the lightning round, which is just two quick questions for people to get to know you a little bit more outside of the topic that we discussed today. Are you ready for that?
Oh, I hope so.
I know I make it sound scary.
Oh, a little bit, but anyway. Bring it, yeah.
Well, I think living unconventionally can sometimes be a little bit scary and lonely when you're living differently than other people. So I like to ask people two questions, and the two questions are, what is the bravest thing you've ever done?
I think this was quite brave because I am on my own. I don't have a life partner. So sometimes you feel like, oh, you know, things can feel a little bit hard, particularly when I'm moving from one place to another and lugging a suitcase. You go, oh, you know, wow. But yeah, it is, because I, even though I'm surrounded by people all day, every day, at the end of the day, I go home and I'm on my own.
Yeah.
So actually, yeah, probably just stepping into this It took a bit because like I said before, I am shy, so it took a little bit of courage, but I just had to, like, once I make my mind up about something, that's it, like, I'm on that path. So, you know, and I tell people, so that's my accountability to do it.
That's so true. Good tip there. Once you want to be held accountable.
Say something out loud. Exactly. So, and you said out loud that you're going to try to have something. So yeah, I'll write back at you. But
yeah, I'm accountable to you now.
Yeah. And to the podcast audience. So yeah, there you go.
Send to the audience and Jay, because he'll listen to this.
Yeah.
And what is the scariest thing you've ever done?
The scariest thing I've ever done. Oh, I've done a couple of things that have been scary. I went skydiving.
Oh my gosh, you are like the fifth person that I've talked to that has gone skydiving. People must just love it.
I just sort of went with friends. So it's like about maybe 20 years ago, and I was helping a local group that was a Weight Watchers group. I used to do the books for them. And there was a lady that was coming to Weight Watchers that had lost 50 kilos, and she'd always wanted to go skydiving, but she had never been light enough because there was a weight consideration. And so she decided when she hit her goal weight, she was going to go skydiving. So the lady that was the group leader said, oh, if you're going, I'll come with you. And I went, oh, if you two are going, I'll come too. So, and it's like in that moment. And then, and it was in Harvey Bay in Queensland. So it's a beautiful place to go skydiving because you're over the Sandy Straits and Fraser Island. It's spectacular. But we took off from the airport. And so we were meant to go this particular weekend. And then I wasn't worried about going. Like, it was just something like, it's going to be tandem, it's all good. But they had to postpone it because it was too windy. And then it got me thinking about all the things that could go wrong.
Yeah.
Because I had a one-year-old and a two-year-old at the time. So it was like, oh, Christ. So the next weekend when we went, because we were tandem, doing a tandem jump, we had to do it each one at a time. So I was the last one. It took all day. We're sitting around and they were going and there was a video and all this type of thing. And I remember saying to my husband at the time, like, if anything was to go wrong, please do not let the kids watch. And he's like, oh, no worries. I'm like, no, honestly, you might not have time to think about this. Like, can you please be conscious that you do not let the kids watch if anything is going to go wrong? And I remember landing and my daughter Tali was two and she goes, Mommy, you didn't go splash. So, and the other thing that I've done that really pushed me out of my comfort zone, so aside from skydiving, is twice now, and I was meant to go in March this year but couldn't go, I've done a charity bike ride through Thailand.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Where I've ridden 500 kilometres in 5 days, and I am not a cyclist at all in any way, shape or form, and like going on my own is with a group of entrepreneurs, which is really cool, but, you know, I was essentially on my own, you know, as an introvert going with a group of people that I didn't know. But through that experience, I've made so many remarkable friends. I've seen Thailand in a way that most people don't get to experience. Done something amazing for an Australian charity that raises money for orphans in Thailand. And I had to really push myself out of my, you know, I'd been through a marriage breakup and was trying to, you know, about to turn 50 and, you know, trying to think, you know, find myself a little bit. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this thing. And once again, told somebody and then I had to do it. So yeah, next year I'll go for my third time. So yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Do you train for that?
Meant to, yeah.
Yeah.
The first year I sort of trained, and the second year I'm like, I know what to expect now. Didn't really train. Yeah, not something I would recommend. Really. But I have in terms of the not training, but, you know, I have a certain level of fitness. I think I'm quite lucky. And I just, because we couldn't go in March this year, we did a virtual ride all through June, which is just finished. So we had to ride for an hour each day in June. Which was way harder than the 500 kilometers in 5 days. So we're sort of a little way into July now. My tailbone's still recovering.
Oh, man.
It's for a good cause. So at the end of the day, you know, the little orphans don't get a chance about what their life is like. So, you know, a little bit of, pain on a bike is insignificant in comparison.
Yeah, no, that sounds amazing. And I was even thinking, because you don't have a car, your training could be get a bike and like a, you know,
a trainer. Yeah.
Put a thing that you attach your suitcase to on the bike and you can just bike everywhere.
Yeah. I don't love riding, I have to say. So anyway, but most of my training has been, you know, when I lived on the Central Coast where I lived, there was a really steep hill near my house. So I could run up the hill, a couple of times, and that was good for, you know, anaerobic fitness, I guess. But yeah. Nothing can compare and get you ready for what happens when you actually have to sit your backside onto a bike for that period of time. There's just no amount of training that gets you ready for that.
No. Oh, well, thank you so much. I really enjoyed our conversation, and now I'm accountable to you and Jay to go out and actually try this house sitting thing. So first we just have to get somebody to say yes. That's the biggest challenge, I think, for us. Yes. But if it's for a weekend, maybe we can score an opportunity here in the next couple of months. So I'll keep you posted on, well, I'm sure Jay will keep you posted on that.
Awesome. And I'm already thinking about people I could introduce you to that probably need somebody. So.
Oh yeah. Cause I feel like we are super responsible, because as you're talking about yourself as a house sitter, I'm like, wow, I would want you sitting at my house, because there's so many people that you think would just common sense take care of your house that don't.
Yeah.
And,
yes, I'm just going to laugh. That's true. Yeah.
It's just when Jay went to look at this house we want to move into in the Central Coast, the people had just moved out that had been living there before, and it was trashed. Mm-hmm. I mean, he sent me pictures and I was shocked that anybody would treat a house this way.
Yeah.
It just blew my mind. And I think it's actually more common than not common, unfortunately. So
yeah, I'm that person that cleans before the cleaner comes type person.
Me too. Yeah. Me too, because I'm too embarrassed for them to see my dirt.
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
No worries. Thank you, Chris. It was lovely to chat through that. It's cool.
Yeah, thanks. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you or someone you know is living by their own rules and has a great story to tell, contact me at thenewconvention@kristafm.com. Remember to live by your values to live your life. We'll catch you next time, Mavericks.
I want to spend more time where rules are not allowed. I want to find myself lost in the crowd. I want to travel past the boundaries so far they disappear. Out here, just the two of us, I make friends with my fear. Something in me that I want you to see, because it is so beautiful. It's delivered to earth on a rainbow, seduced by the god of the sea. Decided to go my own way though, sweat wriggled until I was free. Delivered to earth on a rainbow, seduced by the god of the sea. Decided to go my own way though, sweat wriggled until I was free. So I could that soothes the soul. I'm just a younger woman who's not growing old. Delivered to earth on a rainbow, seduced by the god of the sea. Decided to go my own way though, sweat wriggled until I was free. Delivered to earth on a rainbow, seduced by the god of the sea. Decided to go my own way though, sweat wriggled until I was free. So my fingers hoping peace finds me before I die. Go inside my mind. Go inside my mind. Go inside my mind. Free.